I'll be reading from Philippians 2, like Marcus, and I'll just be continuing on till verse 18. Hear the word of God. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are on earth and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you will appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me.
Our speaker for today is Pastor Zach Magnuson of Buckland Christian Church. He is currently working on his MDiv from Bethel Seminary. He has three kids. He is not a graduate of Barclay, and so he doesn't really have any connections here, so be sure to make him feel welcome today when he's at lunch. And I'll just pray for you, and then you can get started. So, Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to hear your word. I just ask that you would bless Zach and show him your grace as he speaks to us. Help us to hear your truth only and help him to speak your truth only. We love you. Amen. Welcome, Pastor Zach.
Well, I thank you all for having me here today. I thought, man, coming in this morning, pulled off two wins in fantasy football this weekend. I thought that was a good way to start my morning, but that was 10 times better. So thank you for those that led us in that. I really appreciate that. My name is Zach. I am the pastor just down the road here, about 30 minutes, and very thankful to join you all this morning and to get into the Word. I was told there was a student here named Ethan. Is he here today? Okay, with the last name that's not too usual. Magnuson? Not here today. That's okay. Thought I found a long-lost brother. That's all right. Okay. We're going to be in the book of Psalm today. We're going to be in Psalm 107, pretty close to near the middle of the Bible if you have yours with you. You can find it there. If not, I'll read it aloud. We're going to be reading through the first 9 verses. I want to pray, and then we'll get into our message this morning. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, the north and the south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress, and he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and for his wonderful deeds for men, and for he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your word, I pray, may you help us to hear the truth, the incredible power, the wisdom that comes from your scriptures. Pray for all those here, may you help them to be filled with the Spirit that they may understand what it is you would like them to take away from today. And for myself, help me to get out of the way. Do not let anything of myself hinder what you would do here in this message time. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. A few months back, Professor Brown did ask me to come and be a part of this time with you to bring a message and to do something out of the book of Psalms. I guess that's kind of something you guys are working through this semester and this year. I was certainly happy to do so, wanted to have this opportunity to come on down. I hadn't been to Haviland very often. In fact, I've only been here now twice in the last 4 years. 6 months ago, I got to stand literally right here as there was a wedding here at the church and got to be a part of that, which was a lot of fun. And on the other side of it, I also kind of wanted to see what it was like on this end of things. As was brought up, I didn't go to Berkeley, but I did attend a Christian university for my undergrad. I'm not from here. My family and I have only been here for about 4 years now, living down in Buckland. I am actually born and raised from San Diego, and so this has been a little bit of a different feel in some ways. Traded a few things out. We gave up the thing that shakes your house side to side for the thing that takes it and goes straight up in the air. So there was a couple of differences we had to get used to at first. But in doing so and going to an undergrad where it was a Christian university, very similar in the sense that we had to do chapel. Just as you guys, I think you have to do it twice a week. We had to do it 3 times a week. And so I understand where we are on that. And because of that, because of all the times that I sat just as you did and listened to speakers just as you are, there was a couple of things that I took away from that, a couple of things that I understood that seemed to grab at least me more than in other moments. The type of messages that kept students from either getting on their phone halfway through or opening up the newspaper halfway through, because yes, that's how old I am, or just checking out and taking a nap halfway through. A couple of things that I realized was that they were either generally something funny about them. They were comical in some way. The guy just had a talent for making jokes and kept you laughing throughout most of the message. Or they were just extra loud. They were just over the top and you couldn't help. You couldn't get a nap because they would wake you up every half a minute anyways because of all the yelling that was going on. And then last but not least, the one that seemed to really get, the one that at least halfway through the message that turned everybody back on was some sort of tragedy or something that they had overcome. Something that would catch your attention and shake you from whatever you were doing. But here's my issue, at least something that I'm willing to admit to, that while I can be sarcastic at times, I am not always very funny. While I am not naturally loud, thankfully I do have the microphone today, and finally, I don't really have a story going on where I've made it through some sort of tragedy. And so, needless to say, if I start napping halfway through my own message, you have the freedom to do so as well. But here's what I do have. Here's what I was asked to talk about. When I was asked to bring this message, the point that was made to me was talk from what you know. Bring something from the text, from the scriptures that would resonate with where you are in your life and where some in here may be in their life today. And the thing that kept coming back to me over and over and over again Because while I may not have some of those other things that might keep your attention, what I do have is I have a hope. I have a hope for some of you today, maybe not all of you, but at least some of you today, of an understanding of what you're going through here at school. Because it may be very similar to what my family and I have experienced throughout the last couple of years. I recognize that heading off to college and leaving home and putting behind you some of the things that are familiar, family and friends, restaurants or certain shopping spots you love to hang out at, places in your hometowns where you have created memories, and it's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing just to pack up and to relocate, and for some of you, maybe this is very, very different as it is for me, from where you grew up and what you've experienced. And while I'm sure there are many of you that may be pros at this by now, maybe you're in year 3 or 4 or whatever it is, you've been at this long enough that you've gotten used to it. What has made the difference for my family is the gift of community. The reality is that I have come to figure out very quickly is there is no ocean here. So spoiler alert, in case you're really new to this area, it's not going to be around. And the thing I've also unfortunately come to find out is that it is really hard to find truly authentic Mexican food when you are just dying for something good. Yes, Greensburg has a nice enough place. At least the chips are unlimited, so you can keep going and do whatever you got to do there. But there were some moments where I'd have the big test the next day, and we'd be up till 1 a.m., and there were some incredible little hole-in-the-wall Mexican spots that I miss a lot. And I don't know what it is for you. Whatever that thing is, whatever those things were that you built up over time, we recognize that over the last 4 years, there have been moments where we have struggled in our life events. We've done so without our family, without our friends. We've often resonated without a doubt with the feeling that comes out of this psalm. Those of Israel that were lost to the community, those dying to be restored, that as you see in verse 4, those that would wander in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. Without a community, without people that cared for them, without people that they knew, and without the stories that they grew up with. That if it wasn't for the people gathered all around, the ones that they share here in verse 3, the ones from the east and the west, the north and the south, and in our case, the ones from Kansas and Oklahoma, those from Arkansas and Wyoming, that if it wasn't for the community of the church, we would daily feel this same hunger of loneliness, this thirst for relationships. So, as I said, my hope for you today, my desire in coming before you and after prayer and petition of understanding what it might be to say, is that you won't struggle through this thing called life all by yourself. That you won't be away from home, that you may just try to stick it out as if that could be considered living. That the church, the community, the body of Christ, the thing placed in this world to represent what Jesus is and is to be, that it's not just something that you were meant to find one day when degrees and to-do lists are finished, but something you can connect with right now. That I don't just say that because it's my job, that I'm looking here to try to fill some butts and some seats down the road. That I remember what it is. That I, too, was a part of a small Christian community of my college. That I know what it is to be surrounded by so many people and yet at times feel like you are all alone. Now, hopefully that this community isn't like that. I mean, obviously, it seems like there's an incredible group here. I mean, just listening to you guys singing and the voices coming forward and watching you come around those up here, that is a touching and beautiful moment as a community. That is a great thing to come around those who are in need. And maybe this place is so close-knit that there's so very few that feel this way. And maybe I'm only just talking to a few then.
But the incredible thing about Christ, the incredible thing we are taught in the scriptures, we understand about history and tradition, is that Christ is one who leaves no one behind. He's the shepherd that will go and chase that one lost sheep, that if it needs be brought back, he will do so. And the church can be the one place where he loves those wandering on their own. That it could be a community of believers that you can know that are not around to exploit or to get what they want from you, but that can give, that can love, that they are willing to struggle beside you and help you through the tough times and lift you up in the good. And so, while yes, I understand that an extra hour of sleep on Sunday morning might be a great thing because I'm sure you were up late the night before, probably reading your Bibles would be my guess, but whatever it is you need to stay up for on a Saturday night. And while, yes, it is hard to find good stories these days about churches doing the things that they are meant to do in the name of Christ, in the 4 years that I have been part of the community I worship with, I have been able to see day-to-day things where we see the love of Christ working. I've been able to see moments where guys in the church will go to those who can't shovel their driveway. Something as small as just clearing some snow for those that are in need. I've seen little things as such as the church putting together food to feed those who are in need. I've been seeing opportunities where people show up to help someone just move or to help them fix something in their house. Yes, those are small things. And maybe you, in your life, in your day-to-day, you're able to just kind of say, well, it's just the little things that really, they're not that big of a deal. Yeah, I don't necessarily need to be a part of a community because I'm only going to be here a short period of time. But the reality of the church is I've also seen the times when we experience the loss of a loved one in death and the body of Christ surrounding that person in love. The moment a family is given the worst news that they could ever get, that their elementary age daughter has cancer. And that for almost 4 years, we battled together with them in love and support that 2 months ago, she was given a clean bill of health. That it is in those moments, you cannot deny just how incredible it is to find yourself amongst a community of people that love you no matter what your background is, no matter where you come from, that just desire to worship alongside of you. That there are wonderful opportunities all around. Here in town, you have a couple of different churches. You have Greensburg down the road. Yes, Buckland's another 30 minutes from here. You've got Pratt not too far. That is one who spent a lot of my time in my schooling thinking that eventually I'll find a church. My hope today is that you will not wait. Yes, I have a stake in the game, but not as a pastor, but as a fellow Christian, one who believes alongside of you in a Jesus who came and gave the bride of his life to the world, knowing that every day there's an opportunity, whether you are the one to be loved or to bring love to somebody else. I pray that if you are those who are wandering alone, if you're the one who is looking to find those in need, if you're the one in verse 6 who's cried out for the Lord in your trouble, that you may be delivered then from your distress, that you may be led straight away to a community that you may settle. Verse 8, that you may be giving thanks then to the Lord, that you recognize his love and his wonderful deeds, and that he may satisfy the thirst and fill the hunger inside of you with good things. I pray that you may find community here, certainly, but that you don't waste your time getting to know the church that Christ has given over to us. For there will be a time when you will finish. Unless you're planning on doing 5 or 6 years, your call there, I mean, however you want to do it. But that there will be a moment in which you finish up and you desire to be a part of community that not just acts or talks in the ways of Jesus, but lives out the type of love that he is known for. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I thank you for these students, and I thank you for this place. And I pray, Father, that while this message may not be for everybody, may those who need to hear it do so. I pray, Father, may your word guide us in this way. May your spirit push us to know that there are local churches, there are communities of people just dying to pour love into one more person, to live life beside them, struggle with them, build them up when times are good, and be their rest when times are difficult. God, I pray this school, this place may be a community as well, but that you may help us to recognize that you love the church for a reason. You want it to be a part of our lives. That we may see and have an opportunity not to just be loved by Christ, but to have the opportunity to love others as Christ as well. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Grace and peace. You're dismissed.